Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette, just after 6 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now.
I'm going to put it right on the line. Been a lot of complaints already.
Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app.
A naked man has few secrets. A flayed man none.
Or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super Team.
It's on right now.
Lots to do, short time to do it. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, Tuesday morning Sports Chat Light. Got to go shopping for more bananas. This one's a little mushy. Oh. I'm a big banana guy.
I am a big banana guy.
Come on, Dave, you're ripped.
Yeah. Mom laughing at me yesterday because I'm fat. I'm a big banana guy. That's going to hurt. That one's going to leave a mark. All right. So lots to talk about today. Let's start off with NFL free agency. And I know the Saints only kind of re-signed a couple of the guys, you know, on special teams for the most part. And backups, Craig Robertson was signed. Chris Banjo was signed. What do the Saints need? Right? Offensive line depth. Maybe a safety. And defensive line.
Tight.
What do they need?
Tight. I mean, I don't know if there's a tight end in free agency you want, but.
But they're not going to overpay for anybody, right? I mean, did you see Trent Brown? Good for Trent Brown. Trent Brown was a underperforming right tackle with the San Francisco 49ers before 2018, or before 2018. In 2018, the Patriots traded a third-round draft pick for Trent Brown. Third-round draft pick. He went from right tackle to left tackle. Maybe the most important position in all of pro football. As far as I'm concerned. Sorry, Saints fans. Darren Armstrong. Protecting Tom Brady's backside. How many times did Tom Brady get hit in that Super Bowl with that Rams defensive line? Like twice. Fumbled once. But Trent Brown is a mountain of a man. I don't know how he wasn't good to begin with. He towers over the entire offensive line. He just signed for a guaranteed $36 million. Landon Collins, who apparently, I don't know if he's good or not, he's getting $40 million. Guaranteed. Antonio Brown, much more money. $30 million. Guaranteed. All right. Meanwhile, the Patriots... Ho-hum. Oh, Trey Flowers, by the way. Trey Flowers, Patriots defensive tackle, right? Their best one they got. Signs a big deal with Detroit. He's got his ring and or rings, as it turns out, right? So now he's cashing in. Good for them. How about Nick Foles? Jaguars bid against themselves? Was anybody else bidding for Nick Foles? $22 million? Like $50 million guaranteed? Are we serious about that? So I'm not all that concerned with what the Saints haven't done yet. All right, they don't, you know, they don't have many draft picks, and they don't have a whole lot of cap space. All right, now Mark Ingram is being gone after hard for the Ravens, but the Ravens are starting over, right? C.J. Mosley is going to sign this huge deal with the Jets. C.J. Mosley, right? Eric Weddle is out with the Rams. Terrell Suggs is moving on. I mean, how much is Mark Ingram going to get? If you give him 3 years and $10 million, and he wants more than that. You can guarantee for most of it, for all I care. And he's 29 years old. Are the Ravens really going to pay 4 years, $16 million, or 4 years, $20 million for a 29-year-old running back? Go ahead. Go grab it. Right, Tyrann Mathieu, you know, he's doing both. He was offered like $11 million per year, and he got like $14 million per year. And then he comes out and says, well, you know what? It's about more about the winning. I want a ring. As he signs for like $42 million, and I think most of that guaranteed. Let's see. What do we have, the Mathieu deal, Cody? Well, again, it's only the guaranteed part that we care about, right? Safety Tyrann Mathieu agrees to three-year $42 million contract. Let's see what that is, how much that's guaranteed. It doesn't say right now. It doesn't say. This is from Bleacher Report. Kansas City Chiefs and safety Tyrann Mathieu agreed to terms on a three-year $42 million deal. It doesn't say what's guaranteed. But he's going to the Chiefs. That's going to help them. See how Edelman does against him. Well, let's see. Arrowhead Attic. Let's see if we can find a... Oh, although the breakdown of guaranteed money is not known yet. All right. So he's getting both. So the Saints really haven't done anything yet outside of signing Banjo and Robertson, and everyone's going nuts. And again, if Mark Ingram wants to go and play football for the Baltimore Ravens for a few more million dollars, and let's be honest, you know, 3 years, $10 million, or 4 years, $16 million, that's more than 50% if what's determined on what's guaranteed. Then Oakland, what was... I swear Oakland got another guy, Cody. Who did Oakland get besides Antonio Brown? And that wasn't a free agent. That was traded. NFL free agency. Did they sign like a big offensive lineman? Because the Raiders are an issue right now. I'm not sure they have... I'm not sure if they know what's going on. All right. And just to let you people know, and another, we did this early yesterday, early YP, you people. The only way we know how much each team gets from the TV deal is the Green Bay Packers, and that's illegal now. You can't be a public entity like the Packers. They, unfortunately, the Packers aren't going to change that. They are what they are. But we find out what they get. All right. Oh, it's Trent Brown is going to the Raiders. I thought he was going to the 49ers. Trent Brown, there you go. Trent Brown is going to the Raiders. $36 million guaranteed, plus Antonio Brown. All right, there you go. So the Packers reported in the summer of 17, each team gets $244 million. Each team gets $244 million. So that's $244 million in 17, 18, and probably this year. And a lot of these guys, some of these guys, don't have the money outside of the NFL. They're not all Jerry Jones, who's got other business, Robert Kraft, Stephen Ross from the Dolphins. The Raiders and Davis's kid, who now runs the Raiders and has got his Dumb and Dumber haircut out there. This is it. He doesn't have any other business. He's got the NFL. He's got somebody building all his money on him. He out negotiated. The casino magnate out in Sheldon something. The casino magnate out in Vegas. And he locked him out of the deal. I'd say Sheldon Richardson, but that's not it. Wrong guy. Sheldon somebody. Did you hear why the Raiders can't get Le'Veon Bell? The Raiders have room in the salary cap. They don't have room in the bank account. How is that feasible? How are the Raiders cash poor? Now, the Raiders have issues. The Raiders have issues. Where they're playing, we don't know. Oh, Sheldon Adelson, there you go. Unbelievable that Davis's kid out-negotiated Sheldon Adelson, but that's apparently what happened. Locked him out of the deal for that Raiders, for the team and a stadium deal. But the Raiders don't have any money. This is not a salary cap issue. They don't have the money. With the money they're paying Gruden, with the money they're paying Antonio Brown, with the money they're paying Trent Brown and Derek Carr, they don't have the money to go get Le'Veon Bell. And again, it's not salary cap. It's actual cash. How can an NFL team be short of cash? They got $244 million last year. They got $240 million last year, and they'll get it again this year. And that's before anyone comes in money-wise with, you know, tickets or jerseys or anything else. That's just the TV money, the radio deal, whatever it may be. So everyone's going nuts that the Saints can't do this, the Saints can't do that, or haven't done that. And you got another team in the NFL who doesn't have money to pay their players. Personally, I'd be nervous if I was, you know, the marketing assistant. We can't go out and sign a player because we don't have cash. We don't have money. Something ain't kosher out in Oakland. How can they not have money? Where's the money going? 706-0111, 706-0111 on the Arco Equipment Hotline. We are live in the 237 studios. We got a new intern, so we get to pick on him. Jace, the intern. I've told them time and time again over at UL, we'd rather have Jace for, you know, 4 hours a week for 10 to 12 weeks. We'll teach him everything that he knows. Make sure, Cody, that he don't get away like our boy, what, Brock Batty did, right, without doing an update. You're getting on air, Jace, whether you like it or not, and you got to run the board. All right, so lots to talk about. I do want to talk about also the Pelicans. There was a vicious rumor yesterday the Pelicans are moving to Seattle. I don't buy it yet. I mean, it ain't right. But I don't buy it yet. Pelicans could end up with Ja Morant. We got LSU basketball, Cajun softball. Summer Ellison with 17 strikeouts yesterday. They beat Baylor 4-1. Courtney Grimian with a couple of runs batted in. Yeah, I say that so casually, right? 17 strikeouts. At one point in time, I don't know how to say this the right way. At one point in time, Summer Ellison recorded, I'd say 15 consecutive strikeouts, but what technically wasn't 15 consecutive strikeouts. 15 consecutive outs were strikeouts, is the way I would put it, because she had a couple of base hits in there and some walks. But from the end of the first inning to like the end of the sixth, 15 consecutive outs were strikeouts. That is crazy. And that's not even a career high. Cody, how good is your career when you get 17 strikeouts and that's not your career high?
I mean, it's like going 1-for-2 and your batting average going
down. That's right. Her career high is 20 strikeouts. Do you know how many outs are in a softball game, Cody?
Let's see, 3 times 7, 21.
And she had 20. Slacker. What happened to the other batter?
Got to stay focused. Got to keep your mind on.
That was opening day last year, her first game. I don't know about the Cajuns opening game, but her first game last year. Against Toledo, I believe.
And props to that one hitter.
Crazy, that's right. All right, you got a phone call here?
We do. We have Bob on the line.
Hey, Bob, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I heard a couple of different, on the CBS Sports Radio Network, different people talking about, you know, all the trades and players that were being picked up. And a lot of them were saying that, well, for one thing, they said that Tampa Bay was number one and the Saints were number two as far as having the least amount of cap space.
Yes, they had about $3.5 million of cap space.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And but you know the thing, I mean, and I'll pick your brain on this. They said that the Saints really need a slot, you know, wide receiver, to complement, you know, Scott. So
Thomas.
And that's where they And that's where they thought that the biggest need for the Saints, you know, was. I mean, what do you think? Is that their biggest?
Well, they do need
or,
they need something. What? They need something, you know, outside of Kamara and Thomas, because that's kind of their offense right now, right? And if they lose Ingram now, that's going to be a bigger issue.
Mm-hmm.
But can't we find? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, can't you go get, you know, the kid from Clemson? Hunter Renfrow? Go get that guy.
Right.
Draft him. Isn't he going to be around in the later rounds?
Well, how much do you think Ingram is really asking for?
I have no idea. I mean, I wouldn't give him much more than 3 years, $10 million, maybe 3 years, $12 million. But if the Ravens are giving him more than that, he can go there, right? Go get that.
Right.
This is his last contract. This is it. He's a 29-year-old running back. Go grab that cash, Mark Ingram. Now, if you want to win, and it's really only $1 million a year difference, you know, 3 years, $12 million versus 4 years, $16 million, and I'm playing on a losing team, right, and I got to go through, you know, Pittsburgh, and, well, they're a mess. I don't even know who's going to win that division. It's going to be Cleveland. the division's not so great. But I got to get through New England to get anywhere in the AFC. I'll stick with the Saints. But, I mean, if he's getting – maybe they give him – maybe the Saints are offering him 3 years, $10 million, and the Ravens 4 years, $20 million. No, I mean, that's a big difference.
Well, the elephant in the room is that I think for most Saints fans
– right.
You know, most knowledgeable Saints fans and is that the window is closing rapidly. And I think we got maybe 1, maybe 2 years of having Breeze as our quarterback.
Well, that's it. That's right. Doesn't seem like they're negotiating Breeze's contract. He doesn't really take a whole lot of flack for that, does he? He doesn't renegotiate that contract very often. Or they don't do it, you know, they'll do it right before camp, and that doesn't really do anyone any good.
Mm-hmm.
That happened a couple years ago, maybe with his current team.
I mean, no, I'm not a big fan as far as what they, you know, Breeze as far as, I mean, to me, you know, whatever they pay me, you know, 30, 40, whatever the hell, $1 million. I mean, if I'm Breeze, I'm like, okay, Saints, here's five, here's six, here's $7 million back. Go get me an offensive line. That's what I would do.
Well, he's got enough. Offensive line is pretty good.
Personally, I think they're a little thin.
Who are you getting rid of on the offensive line?
No. I think they're thin as far as you know, starters are pretty good when they're healthy. But I'm just saying.
All right. Well, you're not going to go spend that kind of money on a backup tackle.
No, but I'm just saying they could use a little depth at offensive line.
Yeah. All right. So you can get that in the draft. You can get that in the draft, and you can find out who's. You can get depth in the offensive line after training camp, and guys are cut.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get that. Guys are cut before training camp, after, you know, mini camps, after the draft. You can go find depth on the offensive line, but when it's Armstead, right? Pete Unger. Do you need a guard? Who's the other guard? You got Ramczyk on the other side.
Pete.
Who's the right guard?
Well, I mean,
He may retire.
Yeah, if you remember towards the latter part of the season, our offensive line was banged up, and there wasn't much depth. I mean, you know, Will Clapp is changing positions on the offensive line.
You know, if I'm Drew Brees, I appreciate the call, Bob. If I'm Drew Brees and I'm renegotiating my contract, I better not be getting a backup tackle. All right. You know. I need to upgrade. Right? But, again, Warford may be gone. But otherwise, it's Armstead, Pete, Unger, Warford, Ramczyk, right? That's the offensive line. They're pretty good. All right, this segment went long, so we'll make the next segment quick. We're going to get a little lesson in social media after the bottom of the hour. Tony Robichaux coming up at 7. Craig Perks, 7:32 for about 2.5 minutes. He's got to go on the Golf Channel. Gary Williams is big-timing me, Cody. That's what that is. Gary Williams big-timing me. We'll take your phone calls on NFL free agency as well, 706-0111, 706-0111. It's a Tuesday morning sports chat light, 107. The Game. All right. Yeah, quick segment. All right, we went a little bit long. I appreciate the call, Bob. Bob, by the way, running 9-minute miles in the Zydeco, right? Let's run my phone. Let's see. Let's see what yesterday's 3.5-minute run was, Cody. Yeah, not a 9-minute mile.
3.5-mile run?
3.5-mile run.
Okay.
Right? Let's see what that was, if we get it up here quickly. Yesterday morning... 3.48, 11:24. Yeah. Not good.
We could just pretend that 11:24 is the total time. We'll just run with
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
we'll
right,
just go with that.
Right, right, right. Is that like Manziel's girlfriend cheating in a 5K or something like that? 10K? Can she do that?
I mean, it depends. See, cheating on a run like that, it depends on how you do it. You can do it comically, or you can
well,
do it.
Well, she did it comically.
Yeah, see, that's okay.
Right.
But if you try to do it genuinely, then loser. But if you're
well,
you're
she
cheating,
did both. Right?
She's oh, no, sudden, oh, well, see, if it ended up comical, got, if right. it ended up, like, funny on accident, then no, shame on you. But
oh.
there are ways to, quote, unquote, cheat in a marathon. But, like, I'm not
really.
Well, no, but I'm not trying to win. Like, you know, you, like, you oh. start, and then you get in a car, and then you have, like, the car pull up. Like,
well, that's what happened, or something along those lines. You know, she's
right.
running a she's running a regular pace at, you know, halfway through the race, and now all of a sudden, at the later part of the stages, she was running, like, at a record-setting pace.
Right, breaking world records.
Not good. Not good. All right, 7060111, 7060111. We'll keep an eye on Saints. I mean, here's C.J. Mosley's contract. Expected to sign with the Jets. A massive $85 million deal. $51 million guaranteed. $17 million per year. That's a lot. That's a ton of cash. I mean, the Jets are starting to be all in now, too. Right? Of course, the teams that have all this space generally aren't very good. But the teams that wait and are patient and don't necessarily overpay, they're doing pretty good as well. All right, so we're going to get a little lesson. And it was a lesson given to me, and I keep on seeing it. And you got to remember to press send or not press send. All right, so Pelicans didn't play last night, but basically the biggest story going on in sports right now, besides NFL free agency, is that Russell Westbrook went off on a fan last night. The fan sort of defended himself. Well, didn't sort of. Tried to defend himself. And the fan is getting a lesson in social media fast. All right? It's also, unfortunately, you know, the kind of world we live in is that, and I don't want to get political because it's not going to work for me or for you, but the politics is seeping in to our sports. All right? We'll do that. We want to talk about more about the social media than the politics, that's for sure. Also, I do want to do a segment, see if we can do this before 7 o'clock, maybe after, about the Pelicans got a real shot at getting Ja Morant out of Murray State. They got a legitimate shot at getting Ja Morant, and that's what I'm looking forward to. Back after this on a Tuesday morning sports satellite, Robichaux at 7, Perks at 7:32 for a minute and a half before he big times us and goes to the Golf Channel. We'll be back after this, 1037, The Game. Oh, by the way, Cody, you know, I'm going to fight this one, all right? Just to let you know, I got a parking ticket at the softball game yesterday. $100, by the way.
You don't have a parking pass or anything like that?
I do have a parking pass, just like all the other media have parking passes.
Yeah.
And I parked behind the other media. But mine doesn't say 1037thegame.com or 1037thegame. They have their company cars. My has the parking pass and all the credentials right there. You can't miss them. The 50 that I got hanging around my mirror.
Right.
I'm going to go. I'm going to fight it.
Well,
I'm
no,
going to
yeah.
fight it on my own, and then I'm taking it to the powers to be.
Well, yeah. That just sounds like somebody, like you said, just an oversight.
I would hope so.
That's what it sounds like.
I parked specifically behind the media, not right where that gate is.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would
not where the gate was.
That's absolutely worth a phone call or a trip or whatever the protocol
I'm gonna
is.
I'm going to make sure it doesn't say no parking fire zone because that's what it says. But I'll go back there and check that out. I'm going to fight that one. I'm not doing that. I don't think I was in the wrong. I'm parking exactly behind the rest of the media. 7060111, 7060111 on the Arco Equipment Hotline. We're live in the 237 Roof Studios powered by Lafayette Roofing. So I got a lesson. Remember, I went to that sports talk radio conference, and we got a social media lesson here, Cody, from Emily Austin. If you want to Google Emily Austin, you can find out more of what she has gone through the last few years. But Emily Austin was an up-and-coming, one of those sideline reporters. She was working for Celtics.com, right, kind of the in-house media reporter, what we see, what what you see me do here, right? We do that on the web and social media and the such. And she got a promotion. She got a job on TV, actually. She's covering the Fox Sports South. So she's doing the Rays, or maybe Fox Sports Tampa or Fox Sports Orlando, whatever it may be. She's doing the Rays and the Magic. And that's a pretty good gig because that's all year long. There's not a real hole in there between Major League Baseball and the NBA. Maybe you get college football in there if you can get off on certain weekends, but that's a pretty good gig, all right? She was looking for a better gig, and she went on Barstool, and right when Facebook Live was starting, she went on there, and she was being, you know, a little bit more than provocative, so to speak, and you can even see the reactions from the Barstool guys. If you want to go Google it, she would be a little bit too, well, racial would be the word, all right? Before she landed in Orlando, she had lost her job. Hadn't been able to find a full-time job in 3 years, all right? She's saying this is the power of social media. I would say the words coming out of her mouth were bad, but she may have a little bit of a part-time gig down in Atlanta and basically was trying to get a new gig, all right? So if you Google Emily Austin, you'll find what she's been, what she actually said, and she said she was suicidal. She said she let down her family. Her grandmother passed away, severely disappointed in her. She's kind of thrown away her career. She was up and coming, and the career has not only plateaued but gone backwards. That's why we brought up yesterday, Cody, and it was suggested to me by somebody else, you know, what's Will Wade's wife thinking about all this? You know, what he's going through, and that doesn't even have anything to do with social media. This has something to do with, you know, his actions, and we'll see what's true or not true. It could prove to be all false. There was a student, you don't know what's true or not, right? There was a student yesterday, I don't know if you saw this, Cody. This student went all off on his science teacher, got into his face, and looked like he was going to hit the science teacher, this high school kid, right? Well, that, you know, he was pretty jacked, so I'm going to guess he's somewhere as a junior or senior. Good luck getting into college now and getting a job later on. Good luck at that hanging over your head. And it wasn't like it was a big secret, someone was filming it. I don't know if it was a student teacher or what, but that person was very clearly filming it, all right? So now you have this situation with Russell Westbrook. Do you have, he got into it with a fan last night. Let's hear Russell's side of it.
How it started was young man and his wife in the stands told me to get in on my knees like he used to. And for me, that's just completely disrespectful to me. I think it's racial. I think it's just inappropriate in a sense of there's no protection for the players. I think there are a lot of great fans around the world that like to come to the game and enjoy the game. And there are people that come to the game and to say mean, disrespectful thing about me, my family. For many years, man, I've done all the right things. I've never done anything to hurt or harm anybody. I've never been in any trouble. Never fought a fan. Been in the league 11 years. Clean slate. Humble. I take whatever, all the criticism from everybody. I've been doing the same thing for years. And for me, disrespect will not be taken from me. I'm completely just sit back some time and just take it like that's just one video, but throughout the whole game, since I've been here, especially here in Utah, every time I come here, it's a lot of disrespectful things I said. And for me, I'm just not going to continue to take disrespect from my family.
So, I mean, these guys hear all of this stuff, right? It goes in one ear and out the other. 99.9%, right? The fans sometimes be funny, and sometimes, you know, you can even see the players kind of laughing at it. But this guy apparently went too far and said, get down on your knees like you're used to it, all right? Sean Kiesel, all right, let's hear what he says. He was interviewed after the game.
He's got to be a professional. I mean, she was sitting down the entire time. Me and him were just, it was actually, we were kind of having fun, to be honest.
At least you thought you were having fun?
Yeah, he was smiling at one point, and there was a lot of people, because it was when, you know, Joe would come by and poked Paul George in the eye, and then Joe goes over and apologizes immediately. Russ is just F-bombing and carrying on, acting a fool down here, and everybody's getting on him. And he had, I guess, heat. I thought it was ice. I just told him, I'm like, just sit down and ice your knees, bro. And he turned to me and he's like, that's heat. And I'm like, well, you're going to need it.
and then it turned into not safe for work.
So that's what provoked his response. There was no swear words. There was
I never said a swear word to him, and everybody in the vicinity will say it. And she never left her seat, never said a word, hands in her lap. Never said a single swear word to him. Not one. So, like I said, initially I was like, oh, I'm talking with Westbrook, you know? I mean, the guy's one of the greats, but he's also classless. I don't care. He can threaten me all he wants. I was the one talking to him. But don't threaten a woman. She's 5 feet tall and 110 pounds, man. I mean, never said a word to him. Her first NBA game ever. Welcome to the NBA, Jen.
All right. Here's the thing with this, all right? First of all, Russell Westbrook doesn't claim the guy swore at him, right? Says, get down on your knee like you're used to, all right? All of a sudden, Shane Kizel, you know, it's tough to get this stuff off of social media. All of a sudden, has a new account. S. Kizel with two L's. 10 tweets, 33 followers. You can go on Twitter. He's found some interesting things. Claiming he's already contacted his attorney for what? Someone break the law? Right? Is this defamation? Right.
It's 2019. Yelling at someone might just get
maybe,
you there. Yeah.
Right. Maybe. But now you got Thunder teammates saying that's what the guy said. I wouldn't bet you're going to get some Utah Jazz fans claiming that's what this guy said. Shane Kizel is going to find out very quickly what the social media situation is. All right. You can go find Shane Kizel on social media. And find out what he said before. It ain't that difficult. He thinks because he erased his Twitter, and when I got, you know, how old is, you know, 2:30 in the morning, Cody, how, you know, is this even a couple hours old by the time I see it? I was having issues, Cody, because at one point in time, his Twitter feed was blocked or blank, and another time, his Twitter feed worked, and you could see what he was saying, and he's got some pretty distinct point of views, particularly about Russell Westbrook, all right, and other people that look like Russell Westbrook. He's going to get a lesson in social media. Maybe that's why he contacted his attorney. All right. He is a pilot, apparently, SkyWest Airlines, Snow College. Worked as a car dealer, car salesman. Oh, finance manager for a while. Almost 5 years. Now he's a pilot as well. Well, actually, he's currently the finance manager at Brent Brown Toyota. He's going to get a lesson in social media. We'll find out what actually was said. All right. We'll see what the case is. This does not excuse Russell Westbrook for doing what he did. But as James Dolan, you know, went after a fan, these guys hear it, and that's part of the thing. That's part of the, quote, game, right? Russ Westbrook said, I've had enough of the game. I'm not putting up with that. And we'll find out. This Shane Kizel may need the attorney. But here's the other thing, Cody. This is going to get interesting, all right? We know who Brett Kizel is. Does he play for the Steelers?
I went to high school with a Brett Kizer. I don't think that's the same guy, though.
This guy tweeted at him, I'm coming to see you. That may be a relative. And
tweeted at Shane? Or?
Yeah, but a couple years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll see if he gets into this mess. It is a bad mess, and we're going to find out very quickly. I wouldn't doubt it in a couple of days. We'll find out what this guy said. And it's interesting that all of a sudden he's got a new Twitter feed. That did not take very long. And he's contacted his attorney. All right. We're going to go something again. I know it's NFL. I know there's a lot going on. We'll hear from Robichaux. We'll get to LSU basketball in the second segment. But I'm liking this NBA position where the Pelicans are in. They're going to end up with Ja Morant. I'm telling you right now, they're going to end up with Ja Morant. Back after this, 103.7 The Game. All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz. Can actually see now, Cody. Got the new specs. Although we are getting close to getting bifocals. Goodness gracious. I can actually see. All right, give us a call if you want to talk about free agency. The Jets seem to be doing very well. The Raiders are running out of actual money, not salary cap. The Jets, C.J. Mosley. Let me see here. Field Yates tweeted out their crew. Anthony Barr. Jamal Adams, Leonard Williams, Avery Williamson, and Quinnen Williams or Josh Allen. Or, I guess, Nick Bosa, if it gets that far. Crazy. All right. 706-0111 on the Arco Equipment Hotline. Quickly, a little NBA talk, because it's going to be very interesting on how this all plays out. I still think, I'm hoping against hope, Cody, that AD has a change of heart. He's seeing the mess that the Lakers are. He's seeing the mess that the Celtics are. Maybe I don't have it so bad right here. Maybe I don't have it so bad. Maybe we can make a run, right? Maybe we can make a run. I need like two or three good pieces. Maybe just two. And be okay. Maybe you go get Mirotić back again. Free agent. So right now, the Pelicans, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, they're ninth, all right? But there is not a lot of difference between, I mean, you go all the way up to the Timberwolves, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. The Timberwolves, are they in the playoffs? Are they nine? I got to see. But I don't think so. The Pelicans are ninth in the playoffs. No, the Timberwolves, 14, would still be in the lottery, all right? They would be in the lottery. Total, they're 18 out of the best record. All right, they're 18 out, and this is the only way I'm looking at it. On the MickeyMouseNetwork.com. Pelicans are 21 games out, so that's only three games difference. But the Pelicans have the same amount of losses as the Wizards. They're one short of the Grizzlies. And they got the same amount of losses as the Mavericks. The Mavericks are sitting in sixth spot. Remember, we told you the top three, if you will, in this case, the Knicks, Suns, and Cavs, all have a 14% chance of winning the lottery. You get to the sixth spot, it's a 9% chance. That ain't that bad. Compared to what it was, it used to be about 25%, the worst team gets it. And then the second team fell off to 19%. And by the time you got to the sixth spot, it was like 6%. So the Pelicans very easily, Drew Holiday out. We'll see what happens moving forward. All of a sudden the Lakers are, you know, starting to sit guys. So now maybe the Pelicans can. The Pelicans are one game behind the Wizards for eighth. They are a game and a half behind the Grizzlies and the Mavericks. All right. So now you look to see who needs a point guard, right? Drew Holiday wants to be the number two guy. Doesn't matter who he covers, but he'd rather not bring the ball up and deal with that. John Morant's averaging like 25 points a game and leads a nation in assists. All right, besides a three guard, besides a three guy like an R.J. Barrett, they could use a point guard. I know they got Alfred Payton, but if you can go get John Morant, I'm sorry to say he's better than Alfred Payton, or at least potentially. Let's go through this. The Knicks, all right, they got Dennis Smith Jr., right, from the Mavs in the Porzingis trade, right? Cleveland just got Colin Sexton. He's the one from Alabama, right, Cody? All right. Chicago's got Zach LaVine, averaging like 24 points a game. Memphis got Mike Connolly, so you could see them grabbing a point guard, kind of a tutoring type of deal. I don't know how long Connolly's contract is. But Washington's got John Wall. The Mavericks need a point guard. And maybe Memphis needs a point guard. And Phoenix does too. All right? Phoenix doesn't have a point guard right now. Booker's the number two guy, right? So as long as, you know, if they finish sixth and they end up sixth, they got to get past Phoenix, who's probably going to take Zion Williamson. or R.J. Barrett. You know, basically, Phoenix or the Knicks can't be out of they can't be out of the top three, right? The Knicks don't need it. The Knicks are Dennis Smith. So basically, it's Phoenix, Dallas, and Memphis. And mostly Memphis and Dallas, who can't be sitting in front of the Pelicans. Right? Basically, Cleveland, Chicago, and the Knicks are all going to be 1, 2, and 3. Or, I'm sorry, the Cavs, Suns, and Knicks are all going to be 1, 2, and 3. So if the Suns get screwed and end up at 3, they may take Ja Morant. Cavaliers aren't going to take Ja Morant. The Knicks aren't going to take Ja Morant. The Bulls probably won't take Ja Morant. The Hawks have Trae Young. They're not going to take Ja Morant. All of a sudden, you get Ja Morant. You go get Mirotić and maybe another, you know, little help off of the bench. You got a team. All right. Peyton, what if Alfred Payton comes off the bench? You know, if he can go get a contract and someone wants to go pay him to be a starting point guard, great. But what about Alfred Payton coming off the bench? Ja Morant, Holiday, Mirotić, Randall, and Davis? That's a pretty good starting lineup. And Ja Morant doesn't have to do the heavy lifting. If Davis wants to stick around. If Davis wants to go to the mess of the Lakers, I mean, does he really think the Lakers are going to win a championship? You know, I know the Warriors seem to be imploding. But do you really think that the Lakers are going to win a championship? Do we really think that Celtics are going to win a championship? He's looking at the wrong teams. Maybe go to Toronto. Maybe the Nets. They seem to be up and coming, actually. As crazy as that is. We're the Nets. The Nets are sixth. They actually got their three games over. The Nets. Clippers. All right. There's other teams that are closer to doing that than the Lakers or the Celtics right now. It'll be very interesting to see how this plays out. I think the Pelicans could very well end up with Ja Morant. And I'd be very happy with that. If you can't get one of the two top, the other two guys, be very happy. All right, back after this, let's talk some Raging Cajuns baseball. All right, Tony Robichaux will join us. We'll see how long Craig Perks will join us. I appreciate the heads up there, Perksy. But again, you know, we're being big time by the Golf Channel, which in this case is understandable. All right, 1 hour down, one more to go. On a Tuesday morning sports chat light on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7. The Game.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette, just after 7 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game. Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets, place your bets. Here we are.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super team.
It's on right now.
How you like me now? 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 Remember the time when I eat you up.
Yeah, I want to. Good morning, Acadiana. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on Sports Chat. Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Let's talk a little Raging Cajuns baseball. The Cajuns looked like they had turned things around, had won five straight. They lose the final two in the series against Loyola Marymount. The pitching, for the most part, has been fantastic over, what, are we up to seven games right now?
Yeah, I mean, we've the starting pitching has been really good. I mean, it's an ERA of 2.72, and you know, pitching against an aluminum bat, $300 bat, nine guys that got scholarships and aluminum bat, anytime you can get up below three. If you look back, I don't know this to be exact, but I know that 99.9% of the time when our team ERA at the end of a year was below three, we were sitting in a regional. One year we were the 64th worst hitting team in the country, but because we had that ERA down to two and played defense, you can win that away. But our bullpens, you know, got a 5.72. not everybody, but for the most part. So what we have to do really, I think, is just two things to help us be standing at the end is, number one, our bullpen has to continue to be stingy. We've gotten some guys that have done really well, Mike Lamont and Jay Schultz. B. Schultz had a great start the other day on the road as a true freshman. But from there, Armstrong came in and really threw well for us and stopped that inning that was spinning out of control at McNeese. But it's just, I think we just got to swing better at home. That's the bottom line. We got to hit better. Our on-base percentage has to get up. We got to continue to make adjustments throughout a ball game when you face good arms, weekday arms. I'm not being disrespectful. It's just it's not a weekend arm, and they're caught in the middle of the week unless they really got just a plethora of really good arms. But most of the time you see a little bit of fall off in midweeks because it's just guys either auditioning, young guys trying to gain experience. So run production is important, and I think we just got to get our run production up a little bit when we hit it home.
Along with the pitching that has improved, the defense has improved. I don't think you've given up an unearned run since Friday night against Maryland. And again, I'm always a hashtag, there's always a bright side. So, and it's inning that spins out of control, there were no unearned runs in the 8-run sixth inning. So, again, I'm going to look at that as it could have been worse when a couple errors in there. So the defense isn't getting hurt by suspect pitching a little bit.
No, not at all. In fact, that's what saved us, because you add another two errors in there, could have been the difference in the ball game. You know what I'm saying? Now, the walks, you know, were undefensible. That's what I don't like, because when you got a good defense, you want to induce swings, because when they're swinging and the ball's being put in play, your good defense has eight guys out there that's got a crack at it. But when you walk people, nobody has a crack at it. And that was a disappointing thing at McNeese, is that so much of that was self-inflicted. You know, when they finally got a hit, it did damage, you know. And then, like the other day, we get the bases loaded. Now, the game is in a 7-1 game. They bring in a lefty on Sunday. The guy walks the bases loaded. Well, that's a 3-run inning. I mean, you got the bases loaded and no outs. And, again, they're able to make a pitching change, and he changes the momentum. And we come out of there with only two runs. So what do? They pitch against the 3-run inning. And those are the things that we've got to get better at, is being able to do some damage at home, break up some innings like we've done on the road. On the road, we've done some damage. Here, we've had many chances. We had a chance to walk off Texas twice. We had chances in the first and third the other day and one out. We had chances again, runners at second and third, you know, with two outs. We had chances to get those critical hits, but we just didn't get them. So hopefully that'll turn for us, you know, after these next two games. And one, we start conference, so you're back to 0-0. And then after these two games, you won third of the way. So hopefully we can take, you know, what we've take a look at where we've been through that one third and try to ID where can we get better.
Tony Robichaud joining us, Raging Cajuns baseball on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. We'll get to the hitting, but let's talk about Dalton Holton there on Saturday. Just a little bit off. He was just a little bit off, and one big difference, and you would know this, between minor league baseball and college baseball, he's going to pitch through that. He's going to get his 100 pitches in that situation, going to fight through it. College, you're not going to be able to do that, but just a little bit off, couldn't put hitters away.
Agreed. I think him and Perrin both kind of ran into the same situation. Their misses got a little too big, and they got into three ball counts, and their pitch counts went up. They didn't do that the weekend before. And over the most part, Horton's been very, very good. I mean, he took a no-hitter into the fifth or the sixth last time. I mean, so he'll go back to work this week and try to fine-tune it. You know, Perrin will go back this week and try to fine-tune it. And they both know what they've got to do. Their misses were just a little too big. And when your misses get big, what happens is the plate shrinks, and then they get to start leading the dance. And when the hitter leads the dance, it's never good. As a pitcher, you want to lead the dance. And the way to do that is your misses have to be small, and you got to induce swings, because now they're vulnerable to the strikeout, because now you can go into the plate and then to the edges. What happened to him and Perrin is that pitchers were leaking, pitches were leaking outside of the strike zone. They were leaking into their barrel instead of staying in the lane that it was designed to stay in. But I give them credit. You know, if they'd have stayed spinning like they did on Friday night, you know, we probably get them. They made some adjustments, and they made us flip to the other side of the plate. And when we did, we practice it. But remember, pitchers always have one side of the plate that they're the strongest on. Lefties are going to be down and away. When they have to come back to their opposite arm side, that's the biggest challenge. Righties, it's low and away. Across the arm side is always the biggest challenge for that pitcher because his whole life he's medially rotated when he let go of the baseball. So a lefty, he's always covered this side of the plate with ease. It's that side of the plate that becomes a huge timing issue because if he immediately rotates too soon, the ball's drifting back over the middle of the plate. Same thing with the righty. He covers this side. So it's very important that they can stay in their lanes. And we leaked a little bit, and their misses were a little too big. But that can happen on certain days. What you've got to do is you got to overcome that and protect him at the plate. They kept the game from spinning out of control. We had a 2-1 ball game all the way to the ninth, right? But we didn't do anything. We sat on one run, you know, in nine innings. And then the next day we go, I don't know, four, five, six more innings before we ever score another run. Well, that's 15 innings on a weekend with one run scored. You know, I mean, I want to combat it with pitching and defense, believe me. But you got to do it on the day that the pitcher's got everything working. And sometimes he's not going to have everything working.
All right, let's talk about the hitting. Shortstop Hayden Cantrell, it looks like he may be coming out of it. Coming into the Saturday ball game, he had a 1-for-9 week, but he walked four times. So maybe he's seeing the baseball a little bit better. And then he had a hit on Saturday and a hit on Sunday. Outside of suggesting him getting a new haircut, what else would you suggest? Because I really do think it's just the haircut. Just shave it all off and start again.
Well, I mean, you know, you a lot of things are mental. Guys will start out. You'll see him come out of spring training. Guys are going to start out really good with a lot of confidence. They might hit their rut in the middle of the season. Some guys might hit their rut when they come out of spring training. Everybody hits a rut at a certain time. And then when you're an everyday player, it becomes very tough because, you know, you have to work through it on the fly. If you're a guy that's platooning with somebody, or you on a team that might have three extra shortstops or, you know, extra guys in certain spots, it's tough to two today with only 27 guys on scholarship, you know, and a 35 limited roster and injuries. There are some places that you end up a little shorthanded, and certain guys have to figure it out on the fly and work through it. But I do believe he's seeing the ball better. I do believe he's putting the barrel on the ball. He hit some line drive outs through the weekend. He's starting to cut his strikeouts down. So I think that's good. I just think he's hitting. I don't believe in a sophomore jinx. I just believe what happens to sophomores when they struggle is there's more a book out on them. You know, he went playing the Cape. So a lot of people saw him. So more and more people start to kind of figure out it's like a rookie when he gets in the minor leagues, he's really doing well. And then all of a sudden he'll hit a little wall because they start to figure out what he can or can't do. It's kind of like Aaron Judge and those big hitters. When he first got up, he kind of ran through a slump where they started to think that maybe we know how to pitch you now. And then he had to just work through it, right? It's a subtle thing. You've got to keep subtly making adjustments and paying attention to detail.
I'm a big bad haircut, bad hitting. You got to change that up. What about Daniel LaHare? He's really struggling. Was looking for any positiveness, but in like 1-for-20, his last 1-for-24. You know, does he just go up there and say, you know, I'm just going to lay one down. I'm just going to get out of this any way I can, and I can lay one down at the third baseline. I can bring it with me up the first baseline and maybe try to beat one out.
Well, that's the problem you have when you're a bad bunter, right? Is right, because you stuck. Because, you know, good bunters, they can bunt for 100 and hit for 200. So now you only have to be a 200 hitter to be a 300 hitter. But when you are not a good bunter, it puts a lot more pressure on you. And Danny's pressure really comes from, you know, a bad hand. He's got a hand that he plays with that's not as good as it should be, and from time to time it reacts on him, and we've got to watch how much BP he can take and how many swings he takes a day and everything to keep that hand where it needs to be. So, you know, it's one of those things that he's not only fighting, you know, a little bit of a rut, but also fighting a little bit of a nagging injury. When you get into fingers and hands and wrists, they're a little nagging. You know, hopefully this weather heats up. I think hopefully it'll be better for him, because what he has is a little bit of – it's kind of like arthritis. It's an arthritis-type injury on top of his hand. So I think once we get through all this cold and maybe get to some heat going, maybe you know, he can feel better, and he can feel better, he can get going.
All right, I want to thank Tony Robichaud for joining us, talking Raging Cajuns baseball on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. UNO on Tuesday, Southern Miss at Wednesday, on Wednesday, both at home at the Tig before hitting the road, taking on Little Rock to open up Sun Belt play. Thanks, Coach. Best of luck.
Thank you.
All right, Tony Robichaud will be covering the UNO ball game tonight, Southern Miss tomorrow. Cody, you got the our Robism, right? Gave us another Robism yesterday. This is classic Tony Robichaud. Are you a chocolate bar or are you a clay pot? All right. This is what he said yesterday. All right.
It's like a melting point, right? As I try to tell the team all the time, you put some chocolate candy bar on your dashboard, there's a melting point. You know, I mean, it's going to melt pretty quick. But you can put a clay pot in an oven and it can take 200, 300, 400, 500, you know, Fahrenheit temperature, and it hardens. So you got to decide what you're going to be. I mean, you're going to be, you know, a clay pot, or you're going to be a chocolate candy bar. I mean, where's your breaking point? Where's your melting point?
Permission to play that again?
Where is your melting point?
I didn't follow that one at all. Usually, I kind of get.
Well, where's your breaking point? Right? What are you gonna? Are you gonna?
Are you, you
know, are you gonna struggle and move away? Right? Where are you know? Are you gonna harden as it gets hotter, or are you gonna melt?
I see. Right. I got lost because the heating source was different for the candy bar than the pot.
Well, sure.
But I understand the pot.
Play it again. All right.
It's like a melting point, right? As I try to tell the team all the time, you put some chocolate candy bar on your dashboard, there's a melting point. You know, I mean, it's going to melt pretty quick. But you can put a clay pot in an oven, and it can take 200, 300, 400, 500, you know, Fahrenheit temperature, and it hardens. So you got to decide what you're going to be. I mean, you're going to be, you know, a clay pot, or you're going to be a chocolate candy bar. I mean, where's your breaking point? Where's your melting point?
I get it.
Right.
Higher temperature.
If you don't think we're going to ask each and every baseball player after tonight and Wednesday's game, are you a chocolate bar or a clay pot? Here's the problem, though, that was pointed out to me yesterday from Andy from KATC, Cody. If you drop the chocolate bar, what happens?
You just pick it up. I mean, as long as it's still in the wrapper.
Right. And it may break, but so what?
I understand. You still have a chocolate bar.
If you break the clay, if you drop the clay pot, what happens?
You got cuts in your feet.
Or the clay pot.
It shatters. Yeah, no.
You're right. But that's not his point.
I was trying to think of what, damn you, devil's advocate or flip side of that coin.
Right. All right.
That'd be a fun little thinking exercise, taking like sayings like that and just crushing them.
Right.
Just completely.
No, I love it. The melting point one, we put that on Twitter. You can find that at Dave1037 The Game.
That's where I found it.
All right, right. Right. All right, let's hear from Tony Bedford, LSU interim basketball coach. When we come back, Perksy will join us after that for, again, about a minute and a half before the Golf Channel is calling, Schultz. I can't spend time with you on a little rinky-dink radio station and simulcast it on TV. We got to do the Golf Channel. We're big time. We'll be back after this. 103.7 The Game. I do want to, we'll get into LSU basketball here momentarily. Perks will come in. We may get back to it as well. Again, Cajun softball last night. Big win against Baylor. 4-1. Summer Ellison, 17 strikeouts out of 21 outs. At one point in time, 15 straight recorded outs, not 15 straight batters, but 15 straight outs were strikeouts. I mean, ridiculous. Ridiculous. We'll have a post-game video posted on that as well. But once again, it appears that the Cajuns are, you know, they got the one pitcher. Supposed to have Megan Keist, but she's not there yet. Right. In 2013, it was Jordan Wallace. 2014, Christina Hamilton. then Alex Stewart, right? And there's just been no, you know, Alyssa Denham was here, and that was supposed to be part of the rotation, and she transferred, you know, after the Michael O'Keefe situation. So I think the Cajuns are in the same spot that they've been in. They have this really good softball team, but it's all on the shoulder and right arm of Summer Ellison. She can't pitch every game. You just can't win. You know, maybe you can win a Sun Belt Conference Championship, and maybe you can win a regional. But to win a super regional and to advance in the College World Series, they need a second pitcher. You need a second pitcher, and you need one badly. All right? Summer's going to be back next year. Can't go. There's no pro league she can go early to, Cody, right? She can't leave after her junior year.
There is a pro league, right. But I doubt she's right. Going anywhere. Right.
She'll be back next year. But I'm greedy. I want to win this year. And the difference between the Cajuns being this outstanding mid-major program to being an elite program is, you know, if Christina could have been good in 13 when Jordan was good, and then if Jordan could have been good in 2014 when Christina was good, or you could have had someone backing up Alex Stewart all those years, you know, or if Alyssa Denham stuck around, you know, they would be an elite team challenging for those titles. Instead, it's all on one arm, and you feel bad. You feel bad for Summer because it's tough to do. All right, 706-0111, 706-0111. On the Arco Equipment Hotline, LSU going to play on Friday in the SEC basketball tournament. We'll have that action here. Pre-game show, 11:30 in the morning. We'd like it when it's the first game of the day, Cody, because that means it starts on time. All right, and so the game will probably end just after 2. Post-game will take you to 2:30, and then we'll go right into the Jordy Holtberg show. All right, let's hear from the interim coach, Tony Benford, see how this audio is. That the team has showed a lot of resiliency.
You know, they showed a lot of resiliency. Been through a lot this season. They really, after they got the news the other day, really came together and had a lot, showed a lot of resolve. I thought with the leadership that we got from guys like Skylar Mays and Tremont Waters, we probably had our best practice yesterday. And guys came out with, you know, great attitudes. And we had a segment, too, last night. Before every night before the game, we put our guys up in the hotel over at Lock Hook. And would have been senior night. We went around the room, and we let Cavell Bigsley, he had a chance to speak to the group and did a great job. And then we went around, and everybody had a chance to share things with Cavell. And just really proud that we were able to win for him. And he was able to go out a winner here, and we're not done yet.
All right, so this is post game from Saturday, which is fine. What about the plan of attack when he was named interim head coach?
They were prepared. You know, we got a great group. I told them when they named me interim, we're going to be co-coaches. I mean, we got a great staff. I mean, Greg Hires, he should be a head coach somewhere. Bill Armstrong, those guys are great coaches. They've been around a long time, and. We just picked it up. And then when you have leadership like guys on your team like Skylar Mays, Tremont Waters, those guys did a great job. I said, guys, you're going to have to help me. You know, you got a guy like Tremont Waters, it makes it a little bit easier too, you know. But you know, that's basically what we did. And just try to get them focused and have tunnel vision. And guys, let's get – all we can control is what we can control is that's today, right now. Let's go out and have a great practice, a great film session, and let's see if we can have some carryover today, and which we did. I thought our guys came out really focused tonight.
All right, any advice that he got from a former head coach?
I got a call last night from my former college coach, Gerald Myers, who coached me at Texas Tech. He was a former AD at Tech, and he was my college coach. And he was, but anyway, he called, and I thought he gave me a great piece of advice. He said, just concentrate on the kids. Don't try to go out and reinvent the wheel. Just do, you know, just kind of be consistent on what you guys have been doing and just stay, you know, defensively, offensively, just continue to do the things that you guys have been doing, and I think you'll be fine. And he was right.
All right, let's see what he says on Naz Reid and Javonte Smart, but this is after the ball game.
No. First with Devontae, we don't have an update on that yet. Hopefully we'll have, they told me we may have an update tomorrow afternoon sometime. We'll see. Nas status, we should know something probably a little bit this afternoon on Nas. I visited with him yesterday, talked to him yesterday. He was feeling a lot better. I think he's going to see the doctors again today, Pat. And so hopefully, he'll be ready to go. So we'll continue monitoring his situation.
All right, that's actually the SEC teleconference. You can hear the difference between him being on a phone and him sitting in front of a microphone. So the Javonte Smart thing we'll see today. I'm going to guess that he's going to play, Cody. Right? I mean, haven't they been investigating to think about this? They will have investigated this for more than a week. From when he played, right? From when this came out. Wasn't it Wednesday it came out? Thursday?
I want to say Wednesday, late or afternoon.
Yeah.
Because then we came in Thursday and knew about it, and then Friday it was what's he going to do,
right?
And then Saturday was the day.
So it's not that difficult to investigate this that fast, right? Although I did hear someone say that Will Wade is holding up because he's not the one talking, but they can talk to Javonte, they can talk to the mom, see what's going on there. All right, we got him for at least a little bit. Can we cut out the commercial break? Let's take the commercial break when Perks gets the call from Gary Williams from the Golf Channel. Can we do that? I want to make sure Perks' phone, I want everyone to hear the ring when Golf Channel calls. I don't get the call to go to Golf Channel. All right. See the next time I take their call. We get Perks for a few minutes next. We'll talk Dan Jenkins. All right. I want to get his opinion on that. I think that's dead solid perfect. Back after this, 1037, the game. Fast. We got to make it fast. He's getting a phone call from the Golf Channel. I don't know why Gary Williams can't join us. He's getting it right now. Ask if they can come on our show. How about that? Can we do all the show at the same time? He was supposed to get on there at 7:40.
I can.
All right. He's on. He's doing a Golf Channel hit right now. This is big time.
You got it.
All right. Let's see what time he's getting on there. He's leaving right now.
I got to go.
Okay. All right. Well, come back. Early. Maybe we'll get him for the second half.
Jace just goes, what? That's amazing.
Why can't the golf? Why can't we all be on the same show? That didn't hit me until today.
706-0111. 706-0111. That's all. He could have called that number.
Yeah.
Would that be like?
That's get to tell Jace, that's the definition of getting big time.
Right, right. Lesson number one, Jace.
That's Jace, our new intern from UL. That's getting big time, right? Who else? We've gotten big time recently from people, right?
But somebody was very apologetic. I forget who it was.
They came on like that. Buckley forgot.
There was someone else who did that.
Was it Gerald?
And then came on the very next day.
Okay.
There was somebody, something came up, and they canceled on you like 20 minutes ahead, and were very sorry, and then came on the next day.
This is Kush.
Was it Kush? Yes,
exactly. Kushner did it, right?
Like, I don't know if that's big time, but something came up.
Yeah, but the something came up was Anthony Davis wanted a trade.
Well, there you go.
That, right? that was what came up, right? Yeah, that's what came up. And again, let me be clear, all right? I am shocked. I'm still shocked 5.5 years into this when we call people early in the morning and they don't come and they actually pick up the phone, all right? A lot of times people are up in the morning. You know, especially if we call the East Coast, right? If we call, right, spring training, you know, they're up. It's actually too late sometime, but we need to do some of that more. Also, you want to hear where I am getting big time right now, Cody?
Okay.
How many people, I haven't seen this, and my whole thing is littered with all sports people that I follow, right?
Right.
The big thing going on in baseball right now, right, besides Jose Canseco, you know, handing out his phone number for J-Lo to call, and A-Rod getting engaged to J-Lo, despite apparently cheating on her with Canseco's ex-wife. Who knows how much of that is true, but I love the idea that it's
happening. The world turns.
That is absolutely a soap opera. But the big thing going on in baseball now is that the Atlantic League is experimenting with, you know, not pitching changes, but, you know, moving the mound back and making bigger bases.
Oh, not the robots. You're not upset about the robots, but you're upset about the
robots pitching strike zone. They need that. So All right. They had bad umps when I was there. I'm sure the umps weren't any better last year. You think the umps and the officials aren't paid well, you know, not full-time here. You wait till you get to that level. But I can't get the general manager on. I worked there for 4 years, right? Same guys in charge from when I left. That's getting big time. That's getting big time. All right. That's an hour. And he's got a nice 35-minute commute and a bunch of traffic in New Jersey. There's no fast way he gets to that ballpark.
Right.
It's all,
you would think,
I want to say back roads, but it's all, it's like a 90, if you will, but through a bunch of towns.
You would think they would.
It's a bunch of, it's going through a bunch of towns, right? Bunch of lights. I mean, so he was having easy. He may not be able to use his hands. Probably got a drive hands-free device, but
right.
That's getting big time. That I'm not happy about. You know, but when Kushner doesn't pick up the phone or Larry Holder doesn't pick up the phone, I presume they're busy. That's different.
Right.
I know this guy. I work for this guy. He should come on. All right, you got a phone call? You got somebody who wants to talk basketball?
We do. We have Tim on the line.
Hi, Tim. You're on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Good morning.
Good morning, Dave and Cody. Thanks for taking my call. Dave, I got a quick question. I'm a little ignorant about the FBI. The reason, and I've had several people ask me and talk about it, I'm not real sure. The reason that the FBI is involved.
Sure.
In the NCAA thing, your insight on what you have heard about that. And secondly, Javonte Smart.
Right.
Why on earth would he not play? There's no evidence that he took any money. There's no evidence that, as far as we know at this particular time, that Javonte Smart, it could talk. One conversation was about Zion Williamson, I think, and way back when, earlier in this investigation, and
sure.
he's never missed a minute due to anybody mentioning
nothing.
His name. Or,
right.
So I'll hang up and listen. Dave,
okay.
You can shed a little light on why the FBI is involved and what you think about Javonte Smart. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
All right, so this all had to do with, and we got to go back. And I put an email into him and I called and I have not heard back. I am trying to get Steve Haney, Christian Dawkins' attorney, on for just that purpose, just to get it all cleared up. What's happened? He's already been found guilty once. I think there's another trial for something else. This all started with somebody, I don't want to say laundering money, but sort of stealing money from, it was like an investment guy was stealing money from an agent, right? So you had an agent here. And he was putting money of his players into this investment guy, and the investment guy was stealing the money. And so the investment guy gets busted by the FBI, and he goes, I'll tell you all I know about what's going on in college sports. And so the FBI is trying to make it a fraud case where these middle guys and these assistant coaches are using the colleges or defrauding the colleges so they end up on probation. I think that's what it is. But this all started back with, I think, the guy who Christian Dawkins worked for, he was investing his client's money with this investment dude, and the investment dude was busted, I don't want to say for insider trading, but it's not laundered money. Embezzling money is the word I'm looking for. Embezzling. That's how this is how the FBI got into this. Now, as I pointed out, and I'd love, again, Steve Haney to join us, that, the guys who were found guilty in the first trial got all of like 6 months and 9 months. And the judge was just like, this is ridiculous, right? I got to punish you for something, I tell you, I don't want to go to jail for 6 months, even, minimum security prison, right? I mean, that's a bunch of, I wouldn't want any part of that. Goes on your record forever. And, good luck getting out. Good luck starting your life over again after that. But that's where we are. That's where it all started from. All right. Some investment guy was embezzling cash from the guy Christian Dawkins works for. And so the guy embezzling the cash goes, well, I'll one up it if I can get a lenient sentence or prosecution from the federal government. That's where that started from. All right. As far as Javonte Smart goes, I don't know if there's any evidence. I would kind of need Will Wade on that. And again, it's been a week. By the time you get to the game on Friday, it's going to be over a week. It came out, right? It came out Wednesday after the show last week, Cody? It came out Wednesday after the show, and that's about 10 days after the whole subpoena thing came out, or maybe 2 weeks after the whole subpoena thing came out.
And then Friday afternoon, we learned Will Wade was out.
Right, right, right.
And then it was Saturday morning, we learned
Javonte was out. Correct. But by that, I mean...
The timeline can be confusing.
But they should have been investigating all this. How long does it take to investigate Javonte Smart? Right? And this is where, and they claim, LSU claims, that Javonte Smart and his mother have been cooperating. Now, they don't have, NCAA or LSU does not have the pull that the federal government has. Although, I mean, I got a friend who does this. You know, you can go find somebody who will find out where the money is. All right? And he does it to a lot more people that would have something a little bit more... Tangled is the wrong. Sophisticated, I would say. All right. Then the Smarts probably do, right? I mean, I don't know how many bank accounts that they have, but, you know, if someone is promising me or handing me, you know, $30,000 in cash, it's probably not going into a checking account. Right? So maybe they got to, you know, it'd be tough to find, you know, what's in the safety deposit box and such like that. No, but yeah, I'm going to predict that Javonte Smart's going to play. I'm also predicting Will Wade doesn't coach. We would hear if Will Wade is going to coach, he would have already been in to talk to the bosses. All right, and we'll see if we can get some. Maybe that'll be a good guest tomorrow. Let's see if we can get LSU media tomorrow. We'll have Chris Blair, but obviously that's going to be, we can only ask Chris Blair so much because, you know, he's an employee. I mean, technically, I'd have to. You know, a subsidiary, something like that. Someone else. I don't think his check comes from Joe Oliva, but the money probably does. But still, he's not going to, you know, he's not going to besmirch LSU. So it's kind of a slanted point of view. But that doesn't mean we don't want the inside point of view. All right. I don't mind that. You know, tough to get more of an inside point of view than Chris Blair. So we appreciate him coming on. All right. But we'll see if we get another member of the Baton Rouge media tomorrow. All right. Let's take a time out, Cody, see if how long Perks is going to be. All right, maybe we'll end up with Perks. And why doesn't we do this together? Why isn't he on the show with us? We could have had a good conversation. Craig Perks live at 103.7 The Game. We could have got a little pub, but no, we got big time. We got big time. All right, back after this, 103.7 The Game. All right, so far, James Gatto, Merrill Code, and Christian Dawkins found guilty in pay for play trial. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz, intern Jason, still being big time by the Golf Channel. Perks will do his show, but, well, not joining us on ours, I guess. All right. Jury Wednesday, and this is that already? And this is old. Convicted of the three defendants accused of pay-for-play schemes to influence high-profile basketball recruits to attend Kansas, Louisville, and NC State. Adidas employee James Gatto, former Adidas consultant Merle Code, and former runner for NBA agent Andy Miller, Christian Dawkins, were found guilty on three felony charges of wire fraud and conspiracy to commit wire fraud after a three-week federal trial in New York. This is not that old. This is last October. Today's convictions expose the underground culture of illicit payments, deception and corruption in the world of college basketball, said a U.S. attorney. They were sentenced just March 5th, and it was like 6 months and 9 months. It just wasn't very much, all right? Christian was offered the opportunity to testify against the others and elected not to, and can hold his head high knowing he faced his own actions and fought the merits of the allegations, Dawkins attorney Steve Haney said. I'm trying to get Steve Haney, all right? Among other allegations, the men were accused of conspiring to pay $100,000 from Adidas to Brian Bowen's father to influence him to sign with Louisville. Again, that may be against NCAA rules, but it ain't against the law. Well, very interesting. All right. He's back. He's here. How's Gary Williams?
Wasn't Gary Williams.
It wasn't Gary Williams.
No, Damon Hack.
Damon Hack.
Chantel McCabe and Paige McKenzie and Robert Demeron.
So. All right. They didn't want to come on Sports Chat?
Did a little morning drive. No, they're busy right now. So.
What are they doing? Same thing I'm doing.
Exactly. I got a morning
You could have had both of us. It could have been a joint thing. You were just on the phone, right?
That's right.
It's not like you were in a TV studio or something like that. We could have had them on, talked about Arnold Palmer and Francisco Molinari and Dan Jenkins. Probably exactly what you just talked about.
We were talking about the Players' Championship.
All right, so
I don't know why they called me.
Well, actually, call me
once a year. And it's this week.
Sure. Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Is this a good week or bad week for you?
You and I talked about it, Dave. Yeah. 17 years ago,
right.
I won, and it was a magical week, obviously.
Pretty good 16, 17, and 18.
It has meant so much to me and my family, and it's given me some notoriety and some credibility and some exposure and given me a job with the Golf Channel and so on and so forth.
I think that accent gives you the job with the Golf Channel.
That's and a little bit of knowledge of golf. It's interesting. When I go back there, so I played after you win, you get a 5-year exemption,
right?
Not 10.
Right. Just missed on the 10.
That's right.
Nuts.
And the game was a mess, so I walked away from the game. And then basically the very next year after I finished playing, I went and helped with the international or the world feed, television feed,
sure.
And they like what I did. So I've been going back there another 10 or 11 years. It never gets old. You rekindle all of the memories.
Sure.
The memories are extremely vivid. But like I said, 17 years.
They're a champions dinner?
Not anymore.
Oh,
it
not anymore?
It used to be down on the beach, which was really
Across
cool.
Across the street.
Across the street,
right.
further south,
sort of
halfway between Ponte Vedra Beach and St. Augustine.
Oh, all right.
And it was really cool because the defending champion, the champion from 5 years previous, and the champion from 10 years ago would speak. So the first time I went, I was obviously the defending champion.
Right.
And you're sitting there with Nick Price and Greg Norman,
right.
and Mark McCumber and Jerry Pate and Jody Mudd and, you know,
Hal Sutton.
Hal Sutton was not there.
No.
This is why it disbanded, basically. Hal Sutton never Tiger never showed up. Duvall never showed up.
No.
But, you know,
Duvall never showed up. He lives there.
Well, that's true.
That's lame.
No, but Norman would, and as I said, Nick Price and Steve Elkington. The caliber of champions is incredible.
Yes.
It sort of waned in interest a little bit, and
great.
Then they had the grand opening of the new clubhouse in 2008, Black Tie Affair, this 77,000 Mediterranean style monstrosity.
Sure.
And then after that, they've never done anything.
Okay.
So, I shouldn't say this, but if you want my completely honest, my time has passed. You know, I did a NBC asked me to do a 5-year sort of reunion and a 10-year for
right.
their show. So that was obviously in 2012, and you know you don't ever get forgotten. But I'm ready to celebrate the Webb Simpson shooting 18 under or what Ricky did coming down the stretch. I think he usurped what I did with the three birdies at the 17th, and he plays last six holes in regulation 6 under, and so on and so forth. And these accomplishments by these great champions of today, you know, you can always be respectful of what happened previous.
Right, right.
Sometimes I'm a little weary of, as I said, sometimes I don't feel like I belong, and that's, again, I'm being very honest. If you look at, I won, you never take it away from me. I was so excited to have the opportunity to win. I was humbled just to play in the
sure.
event, you know. But I just...
Shoulders aren't back just a little bit more? Just a little bit more when you walk in this tournament?
No.
Compared to Pebble?
I've done it.
Just a little bit?
Well,
just a little bit.
I never made a cut at Pebble.
Well,
so,
you know.
Yeah, I don't know, Dave. You know. I've been, like I said, 15, 16, 17 straight years of going there and just enjoying every moment. I'm ready to be a fan. Not really work the event.
All right, we're talking to Craig Perks. He'll have a full hour of Perks of the Game coming up here at 8 o'clock. Quickly, your thoughts on the passing of Dan Jenkins.
I think the most esteemed rider that we ever had. He was so articulate. you know, he went to 53 straight Masters, you know, and he was able, and again, I think not that the game passed him by, but he was able to sit in the locker room with Ben Hogan,
right,
and Byron Nelson.
Sure.
And he was great friends with Tom Watson and Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player and Lee Trevino. As we moved into the 90s and the 2000s and the 2010, unfortunately, a gentleman like Mr. Jenkins not got pushed aside, but he didn't quite have the access. He wrote better than anybody, in my opinion.
Right.
Every time that he wrote an article, I would gobble it up, and I was just amazed at how well he could write. And, you know, he just as simply – and I'm going to get this, Dave, for you because it was – he wrote a – there was a wonderful article by his daughter, Sally.
Yeah, I didn't realize
about
that.
About him.
Yeah.
And the one that I really liked what he said is Dan Jenkins said he loved how great athletes could make excellent look nonchalant.
Right.
And he could just write that way. And I don't think people write that way anymore because it's clickbait and it's trying to create some sort of controversy and so on. So you think of Brandel Chamblee or so on, who writes extremely well, but he's an icon, and I think that it was interesting the passing of Mr. Jenkins at the same week as Mr. Palmer's event. That's a nice piece
sure.
of symmetry.
All right, well, I appreciate you joining us.
Yes,
I know
sir.
You.
Cu-
I know
sorry.
You. Cu- I know
I'm
you
sorry,
cut them off.
Yeah.
You cut them off.
I
know.
Well,
you
yeah.
I have faith in you.
I said I
got to
go.
All right, thanks to Tony. Thanks for Craig for coming on. We'll have Perks of the Game coming up next. Then you got the rap game with RP3. It is the Jim Rome Show after that, and then it's the Jordy Holtberg Show featuring Jordy Holtberg. Bumper to Bumper Sports cut short today, an hour and a half, up until 5:30 as LSU is taking on Northwestern State, as I remember that very quickly. Tiger Rag after the ball game, though. Tiger Rag after the game. So we'll have plenty going on with LSU. Thanks to Cody, and thanks to intern Jace for helping us out. Please, we'll be back tomorrow. Chris Blair, Chris Gordy, Brian Bandamy, and we'll see if we get some more guests on as well. Please keep it live and local all day long here on Acadia's number one sports talk station, 103.7 The Game.